If you have your Bible, you turn to Galatians chapter 6. And, you know, really the sad thing, as much as God loves us and as much as Jesus loved us on the cross, the sad fact is we don't always follow him to the cross. You know, we don't follow him. And so it's kind of a real encouraging song there, but now we're going to kind of go in more of a negative direction with the way we live. And so what I just put up not following, and what we're going to look at is the reason we don't follow the truth. The reasons we don't follow the truth. Do you ever wonder why you do the things you do? Do you ever, Mother Mark smiling? Have you ever done something or looked back, or even maybe 10 years ago, or even yesterday, or said something or did something? Sometimes something stupid. You know, have you ever done something stupid? Like working on something, you know, and like, and then stop saying, why did I just do that? Of course you have. Do you ever wonder, let's go a step further, do you ever wonder why you don't always follow the truth? Of course. I mean, even though, here's the deal, I think, especially today, sitting here, most of you, I believe, love the Lord, and far as I know, and you know the truth, and I think most of you would say, I want to follow the truth. I know that the Word of God is the truth, but then we still don't always follow it. And have you ever wondered, why do I do that? Why do I know that as David said, that God's Word is like honey to our tongue? We know that God's Word gives life, peace, hope, and light to our world. But why? Why do we not follow? Why are we not following? This morning, our text sheds some light on just that. We've come toward the end of the letter of Galatians. Paul had been writing a letter to correct the false teachers, the Judaizers, who have come in and become a part of the church and tried to indoctrinate the Gentile believers that circumcision was needed to obtain salvation. So Paul writes a letter speaking against what they're teaching. But here, in chapter 6, verse 11 through 13, or actually 12 through 13, he's going to give us the reasons that they did this, the false teachers. He's going to give the reason for why they are trying to indoctrinate the church. We're going to see the reason why they heard the message of Christ. We're going to find out why they rejected the message of Christ and why they tried to indoctrinate the church. And let's read these verses. We'll read verse 11, although I'm not going to preach verse 11. And it says, you see how large a letter I've written unto you with my own hand. Now, I've read a bunch of good theories about that. And that some people say that means that he wrote in big letters. And also, does it mean letter? Like a letter you write to someone, like a love letter. So again, okay, then if you take, no matter which way you go with that, large letter, some people, and this will preach good, that because of his eyesight. The problem is that we don't know that. And it sounds good. I mean, I would like to even preach that Brother Mark, I'd love to say, you know, he couldn't see, you know, he loved God enough to sit down and write a letter even though he couldn't see. The problem, we don't know that. We don't know that. That sounds real good. It would make a good sermon. But we don't know that. We can't be dogmatic. I also comment that it was all caps, like the Lynn here, he wrote in all caps. We don't know. So therefore, verse 11, we're going to leave it alone. Verse 12, though, is where we start seeing why the false teachers did what they did. Verse 12, as many as desired to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done. Lord, I ask you, Father, now just to be with us. And Lord, I ask each of all the people here, Lord, that will just listen and clear our minds, like my wife said, just to take a pause, Lord. I know there's plenty to look at that's negative in this life today. But Lord, help us not to do that. And help us to realize how much you did love us. Lord, help us to realize that we need to love you the same. And I know that's not possible to strive to do that. And Lord, help us to shed some light on why we don't always do what we're supposed to do. I ask you today to be with us in Christ's name. Amen. The first reason that we don't follow the truth is because of deceit. That's number one, deceit, which is pride. Look at verse 12. It says this, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. First thing I want to look at here is letter A, is the conduct. Let's look at their conduct. And now I want you to understand that something I didn't really grasp this completely. I kind of forgot about this. And this is a mostly Gentile congregation. They are among what I say are some Jewish believers who preach another gospel. You don't have to flip there, but Galatians chapter 1, 6 and 7, it says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that calls you into the grace of Christ, into another gospel, which not another, but there are some that trouble you that will pervert the gospel of Christ. And in other gospel, we learn from week one in the fact that they're saying, and it will play big in the last point, that circumcision is necessary. Which you'll find out here in a minute, that's really the only thing they really were really doing. That's the only thing they were trying to focus on. They were committing to the point, if you look at verse 12, it said, they constrained you to be circumcised. The word constrained there is continuous action. The Judaizers have been urging the Galatians to adopt you. And they were, I want you to understand this, they were somewhat successful in indoctrinating them. Look, if you don't have to flip there, but chapter 3, verse 1, we studied this verse, Paul said, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whom I, Jesus Christ, had been evidently set for crucified among you. They have bewitched them. What was Paul's response? Well, Paul wrote a letter. The false teachers have rejected the truth. They tried their best to force this on to others. You want to know something? I'm a little out of sorts. I'm gonna share something with y'all. I'm just realizing somebody's not here that I'm wondering why they're not here. And that really bothers me. So I'm gonna let you know, if you're not here, it bothers me. I'm not gonna tell you that. And I'm not in a mad way. I wonder, are they sick? Are they upset? Is something going on? So just so you know, not that I think you should come to church for me. I want you to know that. I just want you to know that. It bothers me. I miss you when you're not here. And some people I've missed for about 6 months. So, you know, like that, I miss them. So anyway, just so you know, when you're not here, I miss you. So anyway, and when it gets in your hand, of course, Satan wants to use that as well. But yeah, so I think about that. So anyway, of course, there's more than one person missing. Some people have let me know. Some people have told me. But by the way, just because you tell me, I mean, if it's a legitimate reason, that's fine. I'm glad you said that. But if you're missing church, just because you tell me, don't mean the fact that God's okay with that. You know, now if you're sick, that's one thing. But, you know, I like some people that they'll tell a pastor they're not going to be at church for some frivolous reason. I'm like, well, that's great, but telling me don't change the fact you should be in church. Anyway, don't want to get no soapbox there. But, you know, so anyway, just that excuse. I mean, now if it's a legitimate reason, that's fine. Although I don't. Right now, we're having church once a week, 1 hour a week. And I don't live the life some people live, but I've never had that much going on Sunday morning. So anyway, that's just something I've never understood. So anyway, we're faithful. We can be faithful 5 days a week to work for 8 hours a day, but I don't know. Anyway, so, and I know some people are legitimate. I mean, I'm not, if it's legitimate, I'm not talking to you. I want to talk about them, but anyway, it does intrigue me sometimes. But anyway, let's see if I can get back on point here. And I am rattled, and my mind's not where it needs to be. False teachers. and we're trying to build this, have rejected the truth. And they have started trying to teach another truth, which is what so many times we do in our life. We reject what God says. Let's take lying, because no one's really offended by that. We say, well, ain't okay not to tell the truth. What have you done? And you rejected the truth, and you've made your own truth, which is what these Judaizers have been doing. So, why though? Why are they doing that? Even today, as believers, we know the truth. We also know that we don't always apply the truth to our lives. Why? Why? We know the general answer is sin, but why? More specific, why do we know that we should love our neighbors. We know we should love as ourselves. We should love our neighbors as ourselves, but we don't always do that. We know we should love our enemy, but we don't do that. And by the way, it's easy, but have you ever got angry? Have you ever got angry? And then react and realize, I just did not do what the Bible said I should do. I will have you sometime just do what you know to do and become a habit. I mean, we know what to forgive, but why do we not always forgive? We know we're supposed to obey the Spirit. And while on it, as believers, and I know you're hearing this, I'm not going to preach to you, but just so we know, we are to be in church. But why do people not come? We all say, well, I know, preacher. I know I should have been there. Then why are you not? All these things. Why is this? Well, one answer is seen in this verse, which leads us back to letter B, the cause. The cause. We see the conduct, the cause. Here and here. And I've already, it's in letter number one here, deceit. Pride. Look at verse 12 again. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, okay? That can be understood. If you're like me, what is fair show? Let me read it like this. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh. They were concerned about how they looked. John MacArthur said that first of all, the Judaizers were motivated by religious pride. These Judaizers were doing their best to get the Gentile believers to practice the law where they can make a good impression. One writer said this, they wanted the Galatians for their trophy. They wanted to be able to go back, and we'll get in the context a little more, but they wanted to go back to the Jews. What they're trying to do, they're trying to straddle the fence. And they're going to go back to the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, and look what we did. We went, and we got all these Gentiles to be circumcised. We got them to convert to Judaism. Look at what we did. Look at what I have going. The call for them not accepting Christ was pride. Pride is what causes us not to follow the truth. Let me read a verse. You don't have to turn there. Can you 1 John chapter 2, verse 16? You might want to jot it down. He said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the three ways we're tempted, okay? That's the three ways, okay? And it's not of the Father, but of the world. Now, what does the pride of life mean? And to be honest with you, I want it to mean a little something different, but I'm going to read what one person said. It said it refers to the arrogance and pride that can overtake us to try to get ahead. And we rely on ourselves rather than God. You ever been in a situation and try to rely on yourself rather than God? You ever try to fix maybe a situation at work, maybe a situation at home, and you say, well, I'm going to do it my way, not God's way. Well, what are you doing? You're relying on yourself rather than God. Anytime we, even out of anger, when we do something and we know it's not the word of God, what we did, we said, we're gonna fix this issue, we're gonna handle this issue, I'm gonna do it myself rather than God. So what happened when we know what God says, take whatever it is, cause I don't really want to make it personal and step on your toes for no reason. I don't mind doing that, but I'm gonna try my best not to use really any offensive example right now. But anytime we do something that the Bible says to do, and we don't do it, what we're saying is, my way is better than God's way. And that is pride. That means we think we know. And I will say the one area, like we talked about last week, is so many times we think that the answer, like that, one thing we miss in Christianity, and I'm not talking about the love that we should all just hold hands, but we are truly to love people. When they're being ugly to us, and you haven't dealt with someone that's ugly, and you want to slap them, and you haven't gotten angry, and wanted to be hostile, we're supposed to love them. We're literally supposed to love them. If you've been married very long, you know that can be difficult, even with your spouse. Yet that's why so many people end up not together. Why? Because they forget that we are to love. We're supposed to obey the Bible. I've been very convicted. Me and my wife are reading a book called Love and Respect Together, which is the marriage book. I mentioned it, and it talked about the verse. I forgot where it's at now, but it talked about how the, you know, men are to love their wife as himself, but women are to show reverence to their husband, which is respect. And talk about love and respect, how it's a crazy cycle. By the way, men want to be respected and women want to be loved. Do you know that women are not commanded to love their husbands? Because it's how women are made. Women are just made to love. By the way, that's why it's so important for man to be man, woman to be woman. God made it that way. But here's the thing. We have to accept that. But why do so many marriages go down the drain? Because they're not willing to do it God's way. I mean, you can say what you want to, you know. Just so you know, when I came here, we'd only been married a year. So yeah, I made some mistakes as a husband. But you know what? You know how it's going to work? And by me and her doing what the Bible says. And I don't know how long you've been married, I don't know. But it's not always easy to do what God says to do, even when you come to your spouse. People are not willing to do that. So anytime we get away from that, you know, what we're saying, well, I'm going to do it my way. Well, my way is not going to work. It's only going to work God's way. What happened? Pride. That's exactly what we do. When we decide not to love, to forgive, we are saying that I am going to rely on my wisdom rather than God's will. And by the way, when I said that about my marriage, I've had some criticism that got back to me. No, I'm not perfect either. Never have been. Never have been. Let me read some verses. Proverbs 11:2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 18:20. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. And before honor and humility. See, pride is the reason we don't follow. And pride, when pride gets in the way, then it always turns to destruction. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall hold the humble in spirit. Pride is what causes us not to follow the truth, even though we know better. That's why. I'll use an example of my marriage. You ever been like me? You ever been in a situation anyway? I know I'm supposed to love. I know I'm supposed to put the other one first. But why are we not? Anybody else made that mistake in your marriage? I mean, am I the only one? Guys, no hand, but okay. Why? Pride. Have you ever known what to do but didn't do it? Knowing you should do it. That's pride. That's pride. That's pride. Pride is what causes us not to follow the truth. That happened to Eve. Genesis 3:6. And when the woman saw that tree was good for food, which if you probably know, but that, you know, that all three are included here. There was a temptation. And what is pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. It's right there. Pride of life. Make one wise. She took the fruit. We do not follow the truth because we know one reason is pride. What do we need to do? We need to humble ourselves. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And my people, when they're called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And seek my face and turn from their wicked way. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So, you know, in that life, heal their land. You know how everybody wants for the mic in their life? They want to be healed. They want everything. They want everything to be healed. They want God's healing. But where does it start? Where does it start? Thou shalt humble themselves. And only when you humble yourself, then what's next? Turn from your wicked way. You can't turn from your wicked way until you humble yourself. And then when you humble yourself, then, and you turn from your sin, then God will hear you. Because what does he say? He will not hear you if you have iniquity in your heart. Then, when he hears you, then he'll heal you. The problem, so many people, no matter what it is, whether it's your home life, your marriage life, your personal life, no matter what it is, whether it's something at work, is not going to be healed until you turn from your wicked way. And basically do it God's way. Do it God, and when you do it God's way, it's only going to happen when you humble yourself. That's the problem. See, that's what, I mean, it can be as simple as you don't like your neighbor, and you can pray to God, please, change my neighbor. But you don't love him. Well, I don't know how much God's going to do, but what you can do, is say, God, forgive me for not being kind to him. And then say, you know what? We've been taught that, or a nature said, don't love someone who doesn't love you back. Because, you know what? I'm going to be good to him. And you'll be amazed at the healing that might come from that. At least you'll be able to sleep at night. Why are we not following the truth? First reason is deceit. The second reason is comfort. Comfort. Look at verse 6:12. As many have desired to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain us to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. I'm going to read that again in ESV. Would force you to be circumcised in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. So letter A, here's the problem. The Judaizers have identified themselves with the visible church. Okay, I want you to understand that. That means they come to church and sit here and when people say, I ain't going to church because of hypocrites. Well, that's been going on for a long, 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 long time. Okay? They're hypocrites. They're part of the church. But here's the problem. These Jews know that if they identify with the church and they identify with Jesus Christ, then they're going to be persecuted by the Jews. I want you to understand that. They're going to be persecuted by the Jews. Because by the way, that's who persecuted the church back then. Not the Roman Empire as the Jews. Why do they want to persecute them? For the cross of Christ. I want you to understand something. People don't like the message of Christ. They don't like the absolute message. They don't mind Christ for the moment, as long as you say, well, you know, as long as he's just somebody that'll compromise. But when you lay this in front of people and say, this is the absolute truth, and Christ is the absolute way, and there's no exception, a lot of people are going to turn away. Why is that? The message of Christ is not comfortable to people. The truths of Christ are not comfortable to us. Well, let's be honest. I mean, there's so many truths. I know you probably do love the Word of God, but let's be honest. How many things in the Word of God do you really like? You read the whole Bible and how we're supposed to treat people and how we're supposed to love people. I mean, some of the things that, and we're supposed to tell the truth. I mean, if we're not careful, we have itch and ears too. We will never say it that way. We have engineers. We don't want to hear the truth. We don't want to hear certain things about the Bible, about how we're supposed to live our lives and things like that. We don't mind saying it, but we don't want to apply it. I want you to know this, though. That so following God, you have to die to self. You have to follow Christ. You have to die daily. To obey God, it will most likely cause you to endure suffering, even in America. It may mean isolation. It may mean being mocked. It may mean being put to death. It can mean that. For us, it hasn't meant that yet. Identifying with Christ is not always comfortable. Obeying Christ is not always easy. It will not always bring you the accolades and the achievement that the world deems important, which is one of my biggest issues with all these Christian movies. It always turns out great. The little kid with cancer always lives. The little girl who can't find her dad always reconciles with her dad. And always gets saved and all go to church together. But here's the thing, you know what I do. That don't always happen, does it? Doesn't always happen. For many people, this isn't going to work. So what they've done is come up with their own philosophy. That's letter B, the philosophy. The Jews who identified with the church were not willing to identify with a cross due to persecution. So they developed a philosophy. And that's the thing now. People are not willing. People are not willing today. Even, but maybe this church, I don't know. We're not willing to let God thus saith the Lord. So what have we done? They compromise. They compromise. Their philosophy was, let's compromise in order to remain comfortable. He said there, let's constrain them to be circumcised so we shall not suffer persecution. We do the same thing. We compromise following the truth due to comfort. Oh, we've got some good excuses. We compromise to avoid embarrassment. We lie to avoid the consequences. Think about it. Why do we lie? If you're as a kid, why did you lie? Because you're afraid you're going to get in trouble. That's comfort. Why do we not obey the word of God now? Because it's not always comfortable. It's not always easy. Parents, let kids do things they know are not good for them spiritually because they want them to fit in. Comfort. Christians aren't to conform to Christ. Instead, we are conforming to be comfortable. Many people's God is comfort, and it shows. And it shows how they live their life. When you go on and on, like I said, and I'm not really knocking on, I don't think people have a legitimate reason, but I'll say it seems like these legitimate reasons, it's like everybody, not just this church, but all the church, having more legitimate reasons not to come to church. Have you noticed that? We all got legitimate reasons now. You know, my arm's broke now. Well, I stepped on my toe right before coming to church. And in the past, I'm not going to say anything, not personally to you, but I'll say it from the pulpit. Okay. One hour a week. Think about it. 1 hour a week. And look at the pews. 1 hour a week. Then somebody would say this. Well, you know, if we had church multiple times. Now, what we did before all of this, guess what? People didn't come in either. It's not comfortable. It's not comfortable. Not comfortable. Literally. And I've never been one who I've never been one that think you have to come 4 times a week. That's never been me. To be honest with you. 1 hour a week. And I don't know, but I'll be honest. There's not but so many in this room that come faithfully. 1 hour a week. Oh, but we have reasons. No, here's the biggest reason. Be honest. At the end of the day, the biggest reason is not comfortable. Not comfortable. And as Americans, we have been taught comfort is everything to the point that we even teach that Christ is here to give us a good life. You ever saw, you know that? Get saved will be the best thing you ever did. It is the best thing you ever did, but let's make sure we tell them why it's the best thing you ever did. Because it'll save them from hell. It doesn't mean they're going to be a millionaire. Let's make sure. Here's the thing. We don't follow the truth, number one, because of conceit. Number two, because of comfort. Number three, because of convenience. Convenience. Look at verse 13. I understand it's a little bit like comfort, but we'll go in a different direction, so you'll see what I mean. Look at verse 13. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire you to have you circumcised, that may glory in your flesh. Here's literally the reality. Here's the reality. Living a spirit-filled life can be difficult. Now, listen to what I said. I didn't say finding 10 things in the Bible that you think you should do and following them 10 things. That is easy. living and spirit-filled life. Let me just see if I can find that verse real fast here. What's right here? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And it's hard to do that. That's the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. That's hard. Now, I know you, I know some of you, you came to church today and I'm great, but did you do that? In your life, did you show agape love? Did you show joy? Did you show peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance? That's difficult to do. With the Holy Spirit in us, we have to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Like I said last week, it's easy to go to your neighbor next week. Hey, we'd like to invite you to church. That's easy. Man, another thing to show that neighbor agape love. 24/7. That's hard. It requires us to be diligent. It requires us to walk in the spirit. It requires us to crucify the flesh. So here's the context. Keeping the law is impossible. The context here is keeping the law, God's law, not your made up law, but God's law is impossible, which is what our context is about. The Judaizers realized that. They realized that it was impossible to keep God's law. So you know what they did? They made up their own. They pinned circumcision to follow. They pinned and chose what they wanted to follow. You say, what do you mean? Let's look at letter B here, the rebuke. It says here, for if we have therefore, hold on, verse 13. For many of they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. See, it seems here, I'll read up what someone said, they have no intention of keeping the law themselves. Paul probably means by this a statement that they had no real commitment to observe all the law of the Jews, written or oral. They had made a selection in the law of circumcision and made that the focus of their attention. In other words, they just picked what was easy and convenient. Isn't that not what we do today? If we don't like it, we just throw it out the window. You know, we just throw it out the window. We choose not to do that. And then what we do, we do the same. We don't obey the truth because it's simple. It's because it's not always convenient or easy. And what many of us do, and we make a list, we think we can do all we want to do, we dismiss the other, and that's how we are so wrong, yet feel so spiritual. That's what we do. I'm not even going to step on anybody's toes, and that's not my intention. But I just name certain things in our culture now, and in the church, that's just accepted. I mean, once again, I'll say this, because I think we're most of all agree. This is why you hear so many people harping on homosexuality, but not fornication. Because most families, or even Christian, most of your conservative families are not struggling with people having homosexuality, but they got many people in their family that's fornicating. So what do we do? We're going to throw that one out the window. We don't talk about that. We don't talk about that. We just focus on one thing. We need to focus on all of it. What we've done, we're guilty of that, so we're going to throw that out the window. That's no big deal. No, you can't pick and choose just because it's not convenient for you. We are to follow all truth, no matter how inconvenient they are. Just because it's not convenient to tell the truth doesn't mean it's okay to lie, right? Just because it's inconvenient to tell the truth doesn't mean that telling a lie is true. We all shake our heads in agreement, yet that same thing applies to everything in the Word of God. Everything. Just because it's not convenient for me to love my wife doesn't mean it's okay not to. Just because it's not convenient in your life doesn't make it okay. Yet that's exactly the type of mindset that we have developed in today's Christian circle. And I'm not even going to say it, but one category in particular, especially, I'm not even going to say it, but it's become It's like it's almost not even, it's like almost like we think it's not addressed in the Bible. Which is why I've said this. American Christianity is seldom biblical Christianity. The Christianity that we've formed is really scary about, like, the Pharisees. American Christianity, that we all do what we want to, and we love God, and we all go into heaven, we can live like we want to. No. That's American Christianity. I'm telling you, it's a form, and it's been just like Judaism, just like the Old Testament law, morphed into Judaism. That's what's happened here. We've taken the true word of God and the true gospel, and we've put our own spin on it, of Christianity, and what it is an American form of Christianity that is not biblical. And that's exactly right here. What we've done now, and we live this way, and think, if the word of God is not convenient, I'm not going to follow it. Or I don't have to follow it. And that point is just almost like it's erased out of the Bible. Here's the thing, it's not. Why are we not following the truth? Three things. Deceit. Pride. That probably, first thing, that's probably the biggest one in all of our lives is pride. Pride. What happened? Pride will lead to destruction. Number two, comfort. Comfort. Which is really, comfort and convenience kind of go together. And get the minds that we have. Call it not comfortable. Call it not convenient. I'm just not going to do it. And not only that, but then it's not even so much that. Then it's also, well, it's okay. It's okay. It's not wrong. I decided that being bitter is okay. So it's not a sin because I struggle with it. Or I don't want to change. It's not convenient for me. So therefore, I'm just going to throw that out the window. Or gossip. You know? Or, you know, being negative and talking bad about people. Because I can't control my tongue. Then I'm just gonna dismiss that. It's not convenient for me. But with the get, we're called to die to ourselves. We're called to die daily. Yeah, I know I should witness, but I haven't witnessed in one in 5 years, so. But it's just so hard. It's uncomfortable. That's why we don't follow the truth. I mean, I think if you go home today and you'll write them three things down, you'll see it in your life. That when it comes down to it, we don't do what we're supposed to do because number one, because we're prideful. Number two, because it's not comfortable and it's not convenient. But then on the flip side, what we do, we take the few things that we think we can do and we judge everybody else by that. We need to take our strengths and judge other people and say, they're not doing that. And much as I get upset with people not coming to church, we gotta make sure that, you know, just because you come to church all the time, that's not a reason to judge other people because they don't come to church. Yeah, maybe that's a weakness there. Maybe getting up, getting ready. I don't understand it, but, you know, let's have some compassion there too. That's not usually what we do. Deceit, comfort, convenience. And why we don't follow the truth. And we stand at our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. And the piano players come up. We'll just sing, we'll just play just a verse of invitation. I don't know about you, but I was convicted in building it. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Same thing here. Why do I not change some of the things in my life? Because it's not comfortable. You know why sometimes I don't read my Bible like I should? Because it's not comfortable. It's not convenient. It's not convenient. You know why I don't change some of the things in my life? Because basically, at the end of the day, I think I'm okay, and I think that my way is better than God's way. I mean, I would never say it like that when I'm thinking about it, but that's what my actions are saying. But what it is for you? What is it for you? And shall we get a play? Like I said, I'm trying to do well, not saying anything specific. The Holy Spirit can do a better job than that than I can. But what is it in your life? What is it in your life? We're going to continue to play. And if God spoke to you, hey, it's okay to come up here. I'll be honest with you, one of the things I think this church needs more than anything, all of us, is we need to humble ourselves. We need to become more sensitive. I think we're kind of set in our ways. I think the average church has become very Pharisaic. We come, we sit in our pews, we do the things we always do, but I think we've forgot the heart of Christianity. And the first thing for anything is humility. We're going to continue to play.